Welcome to the Padre Island Podcast here in early July. Happy 4th of July weekend to you all. We're getting ready now for the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time, July 5th, 2026. Passage today is Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30. And if you're especially tired, exhausted, fatigued, then this gospel might just speak right to you. And even if you're not, I bet you can imagine how this gospel can be very relatable, and all of us are called to express a childlike faith. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, and again it's chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden light." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Most likely, this is a familiar gospel to you, and you think about your own situation in life right now. Do you have enough to eat? Do you have access to clean water? Here in this country, we're very blessed in that way, and we try to do our best to be responsible and to work hard to try to make a living, try to be to sustain ourselves and have enough to be able to assist those in need. What about when it comes to safety? Would you say that you're in a safe neighborhood? Would you say that you have what you need to defend yourself if something were to happen? You would know where to go if there was damage to your property or someone stole something. You're able to know where the hospital is if you get injured, or who to call if there's some crisis in your life. Safety. If that's there too, then we may not need to expend that much effort in trying to preserve those things, because that might be very much either automatic or something that is just part of our habits, and we're grateful for that. When that's the case, then we're especially then mindful of other areas of what we need, and that is how we survive, how we thrive when it comes to relationships, friendships, bonds. If you're in a marriage, how to continue to invest in your spouse and to deal with setbacks and heartbreak and to try to increase good communication. That's the ongoing task. That's a challenge in this world today when someone says, "Well, if you're not happy, just go do what you want." Well, there'd be a lot more separations if that was the case, because we're dealing with fallible human beings here. But hopefully, unless something is terribly wrong, hopefully we're able to reconnect and to try to find a rhythm together. So any of those kinds of needs, even if it's relationship and the other ones are less urgent for us, Jesus speaks to that. He speaks to our experience. There's something at stake, because we want ourselves and our children and our families to thrive, to be connected, to be able to work together to accomplish great things. And so we work hard, and may we overdo it. May we get caught up in our culture and the unwritten expectations that might be there. And then we show up to Mass or we tune into a little podcast. And if it hasn't put you to sleep yet, it can be a little outlet to find a little bit of reprieve, a little outlet, something different. Help us to put our life in perspective or be a little break from the grind. Okay, so if that's the case, then Jesus is especially relevant here as he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened." Speaking right to us, right to our culture, right to the frenzy and the mess that we can sometimes fall into, even if we're trying not to. It's sometimes unavoidable. So before he gets to that, he praises God the Father for the little ones who have come to know the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. What does he mean by little ones? He's talking about children. Remember, he says in another passage, "Let the children come to me." That these childlike ones, these little ones, when there's such an innocence that nothing's corrupting them, nothing is an obstacle, or at least a lot less is an obstacle than for the grown-ups among us, those who maybe have had more than our share of setbacks, trauma, or some other kind of factor here. But it doesn't mean that just because we get older, somehow we're prohibited from coming to know the kingdom of heaven. Because there's those who are young at heart, those who are able to be childlike, to be innocent, to have regular access to God's mercy, and therefore to be in the state of grace, to have very few regrets and very little shame that we need to carry with us anymore, because those voices that say that we're not good enough, those are lies. We do have dignity and we operate with that, or at least we're invited to. And if there's guilt, then we try to deal with it and move forward. We try to learn from mistakes and try to find a good rhythm in life. Okay, so those who are childlike are acknowledged here, and it increases our desire to get there. Not to be childish, but childlike, to have a sense of wonder, to value play and recreation, to be recreated, restored, to look for ways to connect, to look for ways to not allow the values of this world to dictate what we subscribe to, what we believe is important. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. So there's this communion of these, of the persons of the Trinity, God the Father and God the Son. And he mentions that anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him, well, then the question would be, who does the Lord wish to reveal the Father to? And I sure hope he wants to reveal the Father to you and I. I don't see why he wouldn't. He came to lead us to the Father, after all, to God the Father, and he calls him our Father. So it's not saying we're entitled to this. It's not saying that, okay, this is something that Jesus owes us. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's something about what the Lord says here that gives us hope. And we know it's a gift insofar as the Lord wishes to reveal eternal truths to us. And the more we can listen to be in tune with him, the more childlike we can become while maintaining our own personality and skills and adult qualities. Those are not incompatible with being childlike, at least not always. So when those things are working together, when we're firing all cylinders, not so much in work and work and more work, but being able to balance that with authentic rest, a good balance, strong relationships, living God's call, embracing our mission. When those things are happening, responsibilities, mindset, habits, as well as just regularly connecting with God in prayer, well, that makes for life worth living. And that's something attractive. And the next thing we know it, we come to know the Lord Jesus more fully, and he leads us to the Father. He leads us to communion with the Trinity. This is the picture that is painted for us. This is the story we're invited to. And there's a simplicity to it. There's a clarity that we are not to underestimate. So then we come to this last few lines, which is one, I think it's verse 29 and 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. So after talking about the value of being childlike, he talks about those who labor and are burdened. Remember a few weeks ago that the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So there's a value in work and laboring for the kingdom, and it's not just for priests, it's for all of us. But then we do get tired. We have limitations. We get burdened. And sometimes for things that we wouldn't expect. And maybe if you were to fully know what priests deal with, you might be surprised at the things that you would think are draining for us that really aren't that bad, and vice versa. Things that you would think, oh, that's easy, that ends up being a major cross for someone to carry. I suppose that's not just for priests. That's for anyone. Unless you fully understand what they're going through, it's hard to really know, since we're all wired a little bit differently. So in the midst of our labors and burdens, it's not just saying the Lord will take that away. It's an invitation to come to Jesus. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened. It reminds me of John chapter 7 when he says, all who are thirsty, come to me and I will give you water to drink. All who thirst, I'm the source of life-giving water. I can't remember the exact phrase of how it's worded, but I know it's John 7:37. But here it's similar. Burdened, labor a lot, If the answer is yes, all the more reason to go to Jesus. And he will provide us rest, refreshment, sharpening the saw, just getting back on track. And how amazing would that be? In the midst of isolation, in the midst of overwork, in the midst of sometimes having difficulty finding meaning in certain things, or overwhelmed by things we see on the news, or certain fears or uncertainties, that's all the more reason to lean on the Lord Jesus, to go to him in prayer, in the sacraments, in life-giving friendships, that we might find refreshment. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. So Jesus gives us some descriptions of his own heart. So when I say heart, I don't necessarily mean just a body part, a muscle in our body. You know, he doesn't talk about his liver or pancreas, but just that center of his life, that, yeah, you know, that symbol of love. Jesus has these virtues of meekness and humility, unlike we've ever seen before. He is the source of all goodness, after all, and through him all things are made. So he reveals man to himself. I mean, that's what it says in Vatican II document, Gaudium et Spes, paragraph 22. He reveals what it means to be human to us humans, fully God, fully man. And you will find rest for yourselves. Not, I'll force you to rest, or you should have rested a lot earlier since I warned you about this. Instead, it's you will find rest. Look for Jesus. Look for that rest. Look for that narrow way. That makes it that much more attractive, because it's a search. And when we search and then discover it, it's so much more powerful than if it was there all along, which it is, but sometimes it's not the case subjectively. And you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. I like how he says four there, not the number four, but just as a little emphasis. Let's see. It's almost like saying behold. When someone says four, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. It's an emphasis. So if the Lord has come to lighten our burdens and he's with us, Could there be anything more comforting than that? More encouraging for us? And that goes for our marriages. It goes for those who have been through a divorce, that carrying certain crosses, burdened, but the Lord is with you to lighten that, for his yoke is easy, his burden is light. And we want to share in that. We want to participate. We want to receive these gifts of God the Father revealed to us through being childlike. Not that we earn it, it's still a gift. Trying to be better disposed for this, acknowledging that we do try to work really hard at things. Sometimes we're just spinning our wheels, but we don't know what else to do, because hard work is a value in our culture, and it's a building block of our nation, you could say, even. So it's, as long as it's channeled according to God's plan, it's a wonderful thing. Also, if it's channeled in such a way that we don't go overboard, because rest is also part of life. It's a gift. It's how we are able to find balance and a little bit of perspective to be able to take on the next challenge or the next set of responsibilities, whatever it looks like. Wondering if there's anything else you might say along these lines. I don't have a commentary for you today. I've been just trying to speak from the heart. I'm sure there's more to say about Jesus, meek and humble of heart. I mean, that's pretty amazing, the way he describes himself. And I know this country has been consecrated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We have that feast day in June. It's always the Friday after the Feast of Corpus Christi. And the Salina Diocese, our cathedral, is called Sacred Heart Cathedral, so that's significant for this local church. And if you think about being in the heart of America, and then Sacred Heart is the name of our cathedral, that's kind of cool. But then you say, well, the center of the 48 states is not Salina, it's Lebanon, Kansas, a little bit northwest, closer to Phillipsburg and Smith Center. But then you're like, yeah, but the heart is not in the center of the body. It's a little to the side. So there you go. So if it doesn't seem perfect, that ends up making it more accurate for the location of the heart in the human body. And thus, maybe an analogy, a parallel, that might be something we haven't thought about for a while. So let's continue in our reflection of Sacred Scripture, in how we navigate listening to Catholic media, podcasts, radio, whatever it is. Various programs can help displace some of the messages that are very much at odds with these values that we are trying to proclaim. I'm Father Peter O'Donnell, a priest in Junction City, Abilene, Chapman, and Solomon, Kansas. Thank you for listening today. May Almighty God bless you always, the Father and the Son, in the Holy Spirit. Amen.